When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hola.
Bonjour.
Ni hao.
Sorry, that was a really English way of saying bonjour. I'm James Phelps.
And I'm Oliver Phelps. And guys, welcome to the Normal, Not Normal podcast.
And thank you for joining us this week, listeners, for our listener episode. Now, this has turned into quite a fan favourite every other week. And today we have some more of your story times, your questions and your did you knows.
We do indeed. And guys, I just need to let everybody know that unfortunately we've got to the last listener participation episode of this season of Normal, Not Normal. So before I get into anything else, thank you so much for everyone who sent all the info and all the input in over this season. If we didn't get around to using any of the stuff that people have sent through, please don't take it personally, but we've seen them and we're so appreciative of them. So as is the case normally, we've picked out some story times that we feel go back to the real question that we have on this whole podcast. You know, what does normal really mean? But the cool thing is, though, that we've had a lot of people getting in touch with us, and seeing how last week was our birthday, there's a few birthday things in there as well. And I must add, keep must adding stuff, I must add also, thank you to everybody who got in touch with us and sent us just warm wishes and just amazing input as well for our birthday. That really, really means a lot to us. And a big shout out as well to the guys who were able to compile a lot of other people's thoughts and stuff like that to us, because it's so heartwarming, it's hard to even put into words.
It was absolutely fantastic. So guys, thank you so much for all your birthday wishes, your just everything. It really did make us feel very, very loved and very thankful for everybody. And so thank you so much. And if you were celebrating your birthday with us last week at any point, happy birthday. Oliver, did you get up to anything fun for it?
No. Yeah, on the day. No, I left everything just last minute because I wanted to see what the weather was going to do. So it was okay. I went out for a meal, went to my cabin in the garden and did some weights. And that was about a lot of it. And then at the weekend, I went out.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, on the weekend, I went out with some friends and we ended up in a karaoke bar. Always a good time.
Very good. Very good.
How about yourself?
I did my, it was kind of come tradition now. Every so often for my birthday, I'll go to the seaside. And I decided to do, although it's mid-February in the UK here, I decided to go in a sauna on the beach and then go straight in the sea, which was, I'm not going to lie, it was horrible. But it was a lot of fun and I felt amazing for it after. So if you're ever able to, I did one in Helsinki years ago, where you go from like a 90 centigrade sauna and jump straight in the sea. So it's kind of like an English equivalent. But yeah, it was a lot of good fun.
As I say, this is our listener participation episode. And coming up, as in right now, we have got some story time. So, James, why don't you take it away?
So, today our first story time is from Rachel in Ireland. And we think it's really important, this one. When we read this, it really did touch us. And Rachel, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Rachel says, "Hi, Ollie and James. I just want to share a story that's really close to my heart. Maybe it can help someone who might be going through the same thing and make them feel less alone. I understand it isn't exactly a happy or exciting story, but if it can help just one person, then I'd love to share it. Back in 2018, I sadly lost my mother to cancer. I was just 14 and I felt so lost and alone. I have really bad anxiety sometimes, and when I was younger, my mum was the only person I would feel safe and comfortable around, so losing her was unbelievably difficult. I was thankful to have the support of my friends, but none of them had lost a parent, so they didn't understand how bad it felt to see them with their mothers, knowing I couldn't see mine. Now, of course, the days get easier and it doesn't hurt as much now, but there isn't a day when you don't think about the person you lost who meant everything to you. At 14, I thought I was an adult. I thought I could handle everything alone, but I should have asked for a little more help and a little more support. I was in denial that my mum had passed away because it was easier than facing and accepting my grief. It was only when I turned 18 that I started to accept it. I used to wish my grief would go away, but now I've learned that grief is a special thing. It's a reminder of just how much love that you had for that individual. One of the hardest things I struggled with was getting the feeling of safety, happiness, joy, and security back until I came across your podcast and really started to enjoy them. I slowly started to feel like I wasn't alone and I had a safe space to go when I was struggling or and simply needed to smile. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Oliver's drum or James's love for pizza, especially a pineapple pizza. But you both have really spread the feeling of everything is going to be okay and you're not alone, even without saying it out loud. Thank you, guys. Again, I know this wasn't exactly a happy or exciting story time like some that you have been on before, but I hope by sharing some of my story, it has helped just one person to know that they are not alone with suffering from a loss of a loved one, Rachel. Rachel, thank you so, so much for that message. I don't really know what to say. I'm really glad that our silly little podcast has been able to help and dealing with an unimaginable situation. And obviously, we're very, very sorry for your loss and going through the hard times that you do. But thank you so much for sharing that. And hopefully, like Rachel says, if anyone listening in this gives them some comfort and shows that you are not alone, then we really do hope that has helped.
I think, Rachel, we should be celebrating the amazing, obviously, connection that you had with your mum and to be able to share that with us as well. And now we're obviously able to share it with a lot of other people. So we're all with you on that one. And thank you so much, as James said. And if anything, hang on.
Comes for a drum roll.
I haven't had the drum out much this year. But yeah, so I think it just goes to show, though, that so many great points made from what you said there, Rachel. I'm not too sure about the pizza, but there we go.
No, pineapple on pizza is always a good thing. I don't care what anyone says. I'm glad that Rachel agrees with me. But Rachel, thank you so much for sending that message in. And we really are glad that you've enjoyed listening to this as much as we have making it.
With Rachel saying that as well and hearing that, it's great that we get messages. As I said earlier, like we get messages and things from people who maybe we're not able to necessarily read the whole story out on the show. But we do get a lot of people messaging saying that thank you for giving a safe space to see what's going on if something's not going quite well. Like a shout out to Abby, for example, who's a nursing major in college at the moment. And she was, it's like her escape when obviously the textbooks and everything like that get too much at times. So yeah, just a big shout out to everyone like that as well who are finding it in our silly little podcast, as James says. Now, our next story time is from Bella in Canada, and she's sharing what her normal was like when her and her family made the big move across the country a few years ago. I was born in Nova Scotia, but in 2016, my father moved my family and I to Baker Lake, Nunavut in northern Canada, for 3 years. The first shocking thing was travelling there in a small propeller plane. I was absolutely terrified. Driving to my new home for the first time was very strange. It felt like an entirely different world. There were no trees, the houses were on stilts, and one of the police officers was driving with his child in the front seat on his lap. Nobody wore seatbelts. My town was so small that it only took 15 minutes to walk from one side to the other. Making friends wasn't really that hard. My father had moved up there a few months before the rest of my family did, and I guess he spoke about my brother and I because when we arrived, all the kids were screaming at me saying, "Hi, Bella!" The land and the Inuit culture was beautiful. To my surprise, the people were so open, teaching me about all the ways they lived way back then and the way they keep their culture alive today. I was even given a Inuktitut name, Ukpik, which means snowy owl in English. Learning Inuktitut was a very fun and challenging, and I remember seeing a herd of about 1,000 caribou and a herd of mux oxen. There wasn't much in Baker Lake, but you never got bored. There were no movie theatres or malls, but there was a community hall that hosted community feasts, square dances, teen dances, and holiday events that brought everyone together. I got to meet hundreds of kind people that welcomed my family and I and taught and showed us how important the Inuit culture is. I live back in Nova Scotia now and miss Nunavut so much. It played a big part of who I am today. I mean, as stories go, Bella, that is amazing. Like to think, as you and like to think, you were not too sure what was going on, but I mean, how fortunate to get to such an amazing, embracing people. I don't know about you, James, but I quite fancy being able to check that place out at some time or another, to go to Nunavut and see what it's all about.
I imagine going in the summer would be easier than the winter.
Yes. But, yes, definitely.
But like you say, what an amazing experience to have. And I think that for the thought of going somewhere where there wasn't a movie theatre or anything like that, but it's the community makes the town. I think that's the going back from many, 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 well, to the first generations, I guess, there. So that's great that they've managed to keep the culture and share it with newcomers as well. Our next and last story time of the season is a video from Lauren in Taiwan.
Hey Oliver, hey James, I'm Lauren and this is Tani. He's 3 years old and he's the best dog ever. He rarely barks, he only barks when someone rings the doorbell. And he sleeps with me every night, but he always lets me sleep as long as I want to, he rarely wakes me up. But a dog like this also has to have a way to express his feelings, so he hates it when we leave the house without him. And in order to express how upset he always pees in front of every single door. And it is my normal life to clean up the mess he's made when we're not home. So I was wondering if there's anything that your dogs do that only you guys would understand the meaning. Thank you so much for listening to the story. Bye!
Well, Lauren, just a heads up, maybe leave like some trays or something like that in front of each door before you go out.
Maybe. For those listening, Lauren, her dog is like a, I hope I've got the breed correct, it's like a very fluffy Pomeranian.
Yeah, very cute.
With a very expressionate face. Yeah, very lovely. Great question. Tonto, the biddy, when he wakes up, you know when he's like, he'll sleep on the bed anyway, and he still thinks he's a puppy, so he's really big. And then all of a sudden you'll just hear him go, huh? And you just know that means that he's awake, and then you try not, but then he'll be looking at you to make sure that you're awake now. So then as soon as your eyes open, he's ready to go. And then he makes another noise, a bit like a And then, but he doesn't do that in the daytime. It's literally like just a morning thing.
I think it sounds like that Lauren's little doggy is definitely sure of. Hang on, no, if you're not going to take me, you're going to know about it.
Yeah.
Like that.
Good
like
luck
that.
With that, Lauren. Let us know how you get on.
Thank you very much for that story there, Lauren. Now, we're moving on to the questions, what you guys send in. So this one is coming from Isabella from New Jersey in the United States of America. And Isabella says, I'm in my sophomore year of high school and I'm studying theatre. I'm a very soft-spoken person and I was wondering if you have any advice on how to become more comfortable with performing in front of others.
So first of all, thank you very much for getting in contact all the way from New Jersey. Look at it, we've got loads of people from all over the world, haven't we? It's great. So, Isabella, I've probably said this before, but I did my first ever stage show. The director could tell that I was just in rehearsals. I was kind of thinking too much about everything. And he told me that, and I've literally taken this with me wherever I go, and that is whoever is watching you do anything, whether it be an audience member, whether it be a casting agent, whether it be whoever, literally anybody watching you do performing, they want you to be good. They want you to be the best thing they've ever seen because everybody wants to be surrounded by everything good and very memorable. And it's so much more fun to watch something when something is good. So you've already got the audience and everybody else on side, so just do what you do. And another thing that an old drama coach used to say to me, she always used to say, if you're going to fail, fail big. So don't leave anything, don't second guess anything, just fully commit to whatever you're doing and just go with it.
Yep. I think that goes for anything. If you're doing it in front of a crowd, fail big.
That's not saying fail.
Don't mean fail. But I mean, but don't just be like half bothered about something.
Yeah, don't play it safe. If you're gonna commit to a part or a characteristic or anything like that, what a character would do, just go with it.
Yeah, and also the other side I would say is that you're playing a character, you're not playing yourself, so you can embody whatever that character is doing and get away with it.
Speaking from experience.
Yep, all the time. Anyway, James, what is your question you have for us?
Yeah, our next question is from India, from Arani. And Arani says, since it's near your birthday, let me tell you about how a traditional birthday looks here in my Bengali-speaking community. A birthday cake isn't compulsory, but fish is a must in any form, as well as rice pudding. The elderly people in my family then bless us with an oil lamp and some rice grains for a longer lifespan and good luck. So my question is, do you have any birthday traditions or rituals that you maintain every year?
Ooh, good point. I tell you what, I wish I had fish and rice pudding as a tradition every year. Obviously not together, but you know, that's a good one to start on there. I think I might have to try it.
I'll tell you what, just to really upset, if some people get annoyed that I have pineapple on pizza, they'll get really annoyed. My favourite type of rice pudding is cold, with like, straight out of the can, with jam in the middle.
I get the jam in the middle, but it's wrong. Actually, have you ever made your own rice pudding?
No. Anyway, we're going off subject here.
Yes, I think a tradition, what I do, I've got into doing anyway for quite a few years now, really. I'll try and do some sort of exercise in terms of either like weight training or running or something like that, purely because it makes me feel like I'm actually doing something on my birthday which is beneficial to myself. I assume that is why. Is that a bit weird?
No, kind of. I always treat my birthday as a ultimate cheat day.
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite now. I'm kind of like, no, I'll save it. But I always remember actually once traveling to an event in the States, and we were flying. I had to jump on a plane to fly across. And you know where you get to, like, especially in the States, where they check your ticket and they just randomly write stuff all over your ticket, say they've checked it. And I got it, and I noticed that the girl who wrote it had written happy birthday. Obviously saw my date of birth next to my passport. Made my day, that did. But I didn't notice until a bit later on, and I felt a bit of an idiot turning around going, thank you. Anyway, but yeah, that'd be, I suppose, as far as tradition goes. Is yours just what, a day of gluttony and just cheat day?
Yeah, and I normally go to the seaside with the dog as in some way, shape or form. But yeah, eating as much as I can.
Jolly good, jolly good. We're sticking with the birthday theme. Although, you know, we said that obviously we've been already on this podcast. We've been in Canada, we've been in Taiwan, we've been in New Jersey, we've been in India. Well, next...
Ireland,
of course. We're going to New Zealand. And Caitlin has written in and she says, what is your most memorable birthday?
Obviously, filming on the Potters when... We were filming in the Great Hall on our birthday once, and I remember, so there's, 400 or 500 people in there, and I remember Chris Carreras, the first assistant director, decided it would be funny to get everybody in there. So first of all, they made Oliver and I stand up, and then everybody sang happy birthday to us.
Yeah.
I was very embarrassed.
Well, all the adult actors were there as well, doing like singing happy birthday to us. And I was like, I'm pretty sure not everybody has this on their birthday.
I just remember this I just remember it being like, you know, when you go to TGI Fridays for like your 16th birthday or something and someone says it's your birthday and the waitress makes you look like, all right, Zoom, and makes you stand on the chair and tell everyone, it's my birthday today. I felt like that, but in the Great Hall, dressed in Hogwarts uniform with a load of people doing it, yeah. I think in terms of memorable ones and really cool one is I remember our 21st birthday and we had like a party organised and everything like that at a nightclub. But a friend of mine beforehand, we invited a load of people around our house, which was just mental. But we had a friend of mine, he used to run a bus company. So he put on a bus to take us all there. And we said to the bus driver, yeah, there'll probably be like 30, 40 people. Over 120 people or something like that rocked up. And it was just absolutely mad. And then turned up outside this nightclub. And obviously they gave us queue jump to get in because we booked like this private room. And likewise, I think they thought we meant maybe 15, 20 people queue jump and everyone else will come in separately. And literally this bus pulls up outside and you just see the doorman just going, what is going on here? And yeah, been an absolutely fantastic night. So that was always good fun.
Very much so. Do you remember the gift that Rupert Grint got us for?
Yeah, that was another thing as well. Yeah, like 2 days later, there's a knock on the door and there's this geezer standing outside with it's called a Luton van, so I suppose like a low loader truck. And he says, I've got a delivery for you. It's like, what is it? He says, let me go and get it. And next thing I know, he's wheeling a video arcade game of Point Blank up the drive. I'm like, where the hell's this going to go? Like, it can't go upstairs because the floorboards won't take it because it will go through, let alone getting it up the stairs in the first place. So it ended up going in the garage for quite a while and obviously getting played in there. And then after a while, we found that it was, you know, it could maybe more people could play with it. And we asked the guys at the Teenage Cancer Trust if any of their wards would like it as a home for there. And it went to one of the centres in Birmingham and it got absolutely used and used and used by everyone, which is great to think that it's served another purpose of just enjoying people's enjoyment with it.
Definitely. Thank you very much for that question, Caitlin. Then the next one is we go now to New York, to Jay. And Jay asks, what was your favourite Harry Potter set to film on?
Weasley's Wisdom Wheezy's, I'd say.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's...
Obviously. Is that a bit easy?
Yeah, that's got to be up there.
Do you know what I mean? Because it was like a set built for the characters. There was so much going on with it. And it was like the interior and the exterior were linked, whereas sometimes the sets aren't like that. So that was really cool. And it's even better now when you see people, like people send me photos of them at the studio tour and like they're standing in front of it and stuff like that. So that's really awesome to see.
Someone actually, a pal of mine was there on holiday a couple of weeks ago and FaceTimed me whilst they were in, although this was at the Wizarding World in Florida. And went in the shop and actually FaceTimed me to give to one of the people working there, tell them to work harder. And you could just see this lady like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
That went. So yeah, Weezy, that was a good one. I think one of my favourite, although it's not really answering the question completely because we didn't film on it, but the Ministry of Magic, that set was insane. It was, I think that was one of the only sets where even if you weren't filming on it, you went to see it because it was so big and just epic. But I'm going to go back with Wheezy Wheezy Wheezers or the Great Hall the first time we ever walked on it.
Yes. Yes.
It was exactly when we all entered that set for the first time. It was exactly like in the movie when all the first years walk in and they're looking around completely, pardon the pun, spellbound. That was exactly what we were like when we first entered that Great Hall.
It was indeed. It was indeed. So, yeah, great, great question there, Jay. Now we're coming up now to the Did You Knows. Thank you so much for sending these in. And James, this one comes from Jessica May from the Philippines. And Jess writes, did you know that the Earth might have two moons? That's right. Some scientists believe that we still have a second moon, a small asteroid that has been pulled into Earth's orbit. This was found by a team of scientists running simulations on a supercomputer that determined that there is at least one mini asteroid about 3 feet in diameter compared to the moon's 3,000-mile diameter. But, you know, it's neither here or there, is it? Because this thing is still circling the planet at any given time.
Very good. I really like that fact, Jessica, mate. Thank you so much for that one. Here's a random... Okay, I can add to that one if you've gone about moons and space and everything. Did you know... So Saturn, you know, the cool-looking planet with the ring around it?
Yes.
Did you know that originally it didn't have a ring around it? The scientists actually reckon that that used to be a moon. And the gravity of Saturn crushed it. And so eventually, and then it got cut in its orbit. And then that's what we have there.
Well, there you go.
There you are. But I,
so our moon could look like that in a few millennia.
I don't know about that one. I'm not a scientist, am I? But who knows? I'm just a fan. Anyway, our next question. Our next Did You Know is from Anne in Denmark. And Anne says, I saw the following Did You Know at Legoland. Did you know that in 2004, a Danish mathematics professor calculated that you can combine 6 2x4 Lego bricks of the same colour in an incredible 915,103,765 different ways.
What?
Yep. If you've got six of them, you can combine them in that many different ways.
I mean, to be fair, if you're a Danish mathematician, you're going to start with Lego anyway, aren't you? I would have thought.
I think so.
That is a lot of different variations, though, of six not very big bricks.
Very good.
Yeah, I love that. Loved all that.
I've got a couple. I've got three DigiKnows on my own as well. Okay. Like random ones, if you don't mind throwing those in. So, talk about Jupiter's ring. Other famous rings are wedding rings, right? So, they've been around since the Egyptians, essentially, and they've become very widely popular, especially in the 9th century. And it was thought, though, that in Roman times, that there was a vein that ran directly from the third finger to the heart. Hence why now, that is your ring finger, right?
Mm-hmm.
How, obviously, as science and everything has progressed, we now have a better understanding that this isn't exactly the case. But the tradition still remained. So that is why that is your wedding ring finger.
Is there a reason why some countries have it on the right hand and some have it on the left hand, though?
I'm going to make something up.
Why do people wear wedding rings on right hand? Ooh. Some people believe that Romans used to wear their wedding rings on their right hand, possibly because in Roman culture, the left hand was thought of being unreliable, untrustworthy, and even sinister.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the right hand was considered a symbolic of honour and trust. There you go.
Very good. Another random did you know fact. Yeah, don't trust left-handed people.
Yeah.
Another random fact. Did you know Nintendo? I know you think you know what did you know fact I'm going to say, but it's not going to be that one.
Okay.
I bet you were thinking I was going to say, did you know Nintendo used to make cards?
Yes.
Well, no, that isn't the fact I'm going to say. The fact I'm going to say is, did you know Nintendo used to have a helpline phone number for their games? So back before the days of the internet, video games were much more challenging, and to find the right way to beat them, sometimes it seemed impossible. So as Nintendo were very aware of this, and in the US at least, they provided a service called the Powerline, which struggling gamers could call for tips and tricks.
Wow. It's a good little money earner, isn't it?
It is, I bet.
Just put some impossible level in, and you need to put a cheat in to get past it.
Must call this premium number.
Yeah.
My favourite of my DigiKnows for the day, and I don't know if I've said this one before, but platypus is one of my favourite animals in the entire world, right? I've never actually seen one, but I think they look awesome. So they're so weird, though, that when scientists first discovered them, they thought it was a hoax. Now, they've been around for thousands of years and have been known about these by the indigenous Australians. But when British scholars first encountered them, they were extremely puzzled. Their confusion came down to the fact that it was clearly a mammal, but it was really bizarre because it lays eggs. It has a duck beak, a beaver's tail, and feet like otters. And the males are even venomous.
See, when you hear stuff like that, it's quite easy to believe that people believed in unicorns. You know, a horse with a horn on it.
Well, you think that.
You describe that thing there. Yeah.
What's more believable? A half duck, otter, beaver, which lays eggs, or a horse with a horn on its head?
Mad, isn't it? Mad. Mad trying to get that through, people.
Amazing. Well, anyway, I thought I'd drop that one there.
Anyway, guys, as we told you that this is our penultimate show of the season, what with next week's show being the last episode of this current season. But we want to let you know that we have a guest lineup that we know you're going to be very, very excited about. And we may even talk a bit more Potter on that episode as well.
Do we get to say who it is?
I think we'll reveal it as we're about to sign off. That may be a good thing to do. But before I go into any of that, I just want to say, as I said earlier before, thank you to everyone who dropped in touch with us about our birthday celebrations last week. And also just taking the time out to think about us and just embrace, I suppose, us. And I'm really happy that not many people were saying how old we actually are. But here's a random thing, right? I was trying to find a birthday card. And not for me, for somebody else.
Me.
Yeah. And you go to the right, you go to it, and it's amazing the amount of places where the birthday cards are literally just either another year older, you know, or something like that, or something like all about age progression. Or if it's male related, it's all, but you can't wait to have a beer on your birthday, or you deserve putting your feet up, even though you don't do a lot anywhere. It's all this, so much stereotyping about it. Yet there's no one just say, hope you have an amazing time on your birthday today, and that's it. Like, why is it? Why isn't there just a thing where it just says happy birthday and a nice way about it? There's always got to be something there. Or some crude innuendo about some woman who's like, I don't know, you know, or another year older. And then, like, I don't know, it's a bit crude. You open it up and something like, you know, some body parts have gone south or something like that. Who needs to see anything like that? And who actually gives it to someone who they're going to see again past their birthday date? Or here's another one as well, right? 21st birthday cards, they get cruder and cruder and cruder. And sometimes, I know we found that firsthand anyway, that someone would write the card and give it to somebody just so they know that they would be in, you know, are they actually going to put this on their mantelpiece in front of their family?
That's the whole point. That's why you do it.
Well, yes, I know that, but why is it still a thing? I thought as a species, we'd moved on
because
from something like
that. Because it's funny. Thank you very much for your rant. Guys, thank you very much for your story times, your questions, your did you knows for this season. Like I've said, we've had such an amazing time receiving them, reading them, and it really has given us such an amazing insight into what normal, not normal, means for many different people. You shared your victories, your tragedies, and everything else in between with us. So thank you so much for that. It really, really has been great reading, seeing them, and sharing them with everybody. So thank you so much.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. And just a heads up, Bonnie Wright is our guest next week in the final episode of the season, where we're going to be talking with Bonnie about her upcoming book and the other stuff what she's got going on. We'll be talking about the Potter reunion, and also another project that we worked together on recently as well. So until then, guys, thank you once again. I have been Oliver Phelps.
He has. I've been James Phelps. And until next week, guys, have an amazing week. See you later. Normal, Not Normal is a Stable production.